turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives. Yep. It's me, Ashley Burgess. And, you know, it was really neat the other day. I got to run into Val Kilmer, and it was pretty cool. And he told me a lot of stuff about his new one-man play, which is titled Citizen Twain. And it was his selection. He actually did a lot of research for over a period of 5 years to research everything he could about Mark Twain and trying to figure out exactly his situation, as well as another person that actually wrote the doctrine for Christian Science. So this is his first real venue back and to the, I guess, to the stage. And we kind of talked about the background and getting back into everything and why he chose certain venues and all that good stuff. So here we go with Off the Cuff with Val Kilmer. How's your day going?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Okay, so first off, I was kind of reading some stuff about how you actually opened your Twain at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, yes. I've been doing some workshops. I did a bunch there, yeah.
You did? Why did you select that?
Well, it's kind of difficult in L.A. or any town that doesn't have a very cohesive theater community to make something unique. So I was looking for a venue that was unique and different. And I thought the idea of that my kids also suggested, there's a very popular film festival where there's a park section to the cemetery where everyone brings a blanket and they watch movies like the old days, the drive-ins. So I went and looked at it. It's an old Masonic lodge and it has great character, and it's a really unusual, fun spot in Los Angeles because it's like a park.
My friend actually does the tours there, and is an old high school friend.
Yeah.
And she does the tours there, and she
loves it. It doesn't feel at all like a cemetery. It's not morbid or anything. So I thought it would be fun. Plus, in my play, Mark Twain realizes that he's dead, so I thought that was funny, too.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So let me ask you, the biggest thing you said is that she had the love for God, and he had the love for her in this play. And so let me ask you, being a Christian Science follower, I mean, I see the implication. So obviously she loved God and then he was actually in love with her, but they never met.
Well, I don't know if I'd say he was in love with her, but he was definitely infatuated with her because he studied her and her works and was involved in a kind of dialogue, even though they never met for 10 years. He wrote a book about her. And he virtually knew everyone that was interesting in every country on earth. You never met a guy who traveled more than him. So there's something between the two of them that's a great American story, both self-made. And Mrs. Eddy, of course, is known for starting this religion, but she was very innovative as a businesswoman. And I think he was also jealous because she was successful.
Yeah.
And it was very, very hard for a woman to be successful back then and not basically lie and say, well, my husband
does this.
You know, if he hadn't, like Harriet Beecher Stowe was always saying, it wasn't me, my husband made me write. But Mrs. Hayes, very fascinating woman.
I think we have to wrap up, but it was wonderful meeting you,
Thank
Val.
You.
Thank you so much. I thought that was awesome. I mean, like, for somebody to come back into a career, you know, at a certain point, I mean, Val has had so many amazing films and has done so much amazing work, but to find something in your life that transforms you into a kind of a different life path, or to transcend or to reinvent yourself, is pretty interesting, as well as the amount of work and stuff that it took to really, you know, come up with something like that. And it was pretty neat because a friend of mine actually in L.A. runs the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. We went to high school together, and she also does the tours as well, and actually was on in the L.A. Times, the front page the other day, actually, and the name of the article was titled Perspective. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Got to get some perspective, right? So anyway, so moving on, you know, tonight at the Studio Roundtable, you know, we're just trying to keep it real. We're trying to keep it on the DL, you know, and so joining me this evening to keep it on the DL is Chad Fields and Robert Lopez, and they actually have a company called Dirty Laundry. Hey, Chad, Robert, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
I'm good.
You having a good night?
Yeah, it's one of those long nights, but it's a good night. I mean,
I just realized it was Sunday, and I'm like, really? Start all over again tomorrow?
It's amazing, right? Yeah, okay, I mean, you gotta like, it's amazing because Sunday is Sunday, and I work every Sunday, obviously, for everybody that's listening to this show. And so there is no Sunday fun days anymore, you know?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's work, work, and work.
Yeah, even before we showed up to the studio, we had to do a dance competition. So we're always working. We stay busy. We keep everything moving. Sometimes we don't sleep, so we kind of can empathize with you on that.
It's work, right?
Yeah.
I sleep in traffic.
Do you drive?
Yes. That's my time of peace. I guess it's in traffic, in Dallas traffic. And that's horrible.
So you just wake up when the honking begins?
Yeah.
I'm just dirty.
It is bad. And I've had some people do that before in my past, and they were driving my car. Thank you very much. Anyway, that's great. And I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Heard about it from a lot of people. So tell me and tell our audience, I know, but let's talk to our audience about what Dirty Laundry is.
Dirty Laundry is a t-shirt brand, and we also DJ also. And pretty much we were going to get a store, and we're like, that's too easy. Store's cool, but, you know, what if people never show up? So let's go to Chicago, take a long drive, you know? And on the way back, a friend of ours was like, y'all should get a truck. You know, just drive around and promote or something. So, of course, we had like 16 hours to think about things. And it just, the idea grew bigger and bigger. And we're just like, let's get a huge truck and let's just make a store out of it and throw a DJ setup in there. And, you know, let's just ride around and do our thing. We didn't realize that, I mean, the food trucks at the time were hot and they were growing. And our truck is similar to a food truck, but it's just a SWAT truck with police lights. So I guess the food truck started seeing us like at different venues and they're like, hey, you want to join our little mobile mafia?
That's
so
cool.
Pretty much that's how it, I mean, it's crazy because we were just kind of after like sneakerheads and people who just like colorful t-shirts. But then we were kind of like embraced by everybody from the Dallas Museum of Art to Deep Ellum to kids, sneakerheads once again, Scion. So we had like different point of views and we're like, so we don't just have to make t-shirts for tennis shoe people. We can make shirts that are just for everybody. And pretty much, I mean, that's what happened. And then we ended up with a SWAT truck. And ever since that day that we released the truck, I mean, we have to work on the truck sometimes at a location just to get things finished.
Like, yeah, actually, he at the DMA when we did the bridge opening, he was tinting the windows on the spot.
People thought I was like doing some kind of art piece, and they're just standing there, and they're like, "Oh, he's putting window tint."
That's awesome. So you're like putting the tint on there, and everybody's like, "Wow, he's doing some sort of art installation."
Right. I guess it was the motion of the hand and the scissors, and they're like, "Wait, can't see him anymore."
You're like, well, where did he go?
Where did he go? Yes.
So tell us, okay, so I know about it. I think it's great, but okay, tell us about the SWAT truck.
Well, Robert has a friend that does films. So it just so happened to be that he was actually had a location down the street from the shop that he was talking about that we were working on. And it was a movie truck. It was in Walker, Texas Ranger, RoboCop, Saving Sarah Marshall.
Couple of commercials.
Yeah, a couple of different commercials. So when we got the truck, it was movie set prepared. And
Sort of.
Yeah, so that's how we came up on the truck, actually. So it ended up working out in our best interest. So
it's a pretty cool truck. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The first time I saw y'all was outside of, I guess, kind of off by, outside by the DMA.
Off of Fiona Street.
Yeah, that's it. And I was like, what the heck is this?
We get that a lot. We can just read people's eyes sometimes. And I can hear Chad like, so what do you want to know?
Just being dirty.
Yeah. You want to know the down low here?
Right, the DL.
That's awesome. Y'all even have like, okay, so you also have washer and dryers in there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do those really work or no?
Well, they're subwoofer boxes. We wanted to keep the theme of a laundromat, an old school laundromat. We used to have another floor in there, but we didn't realize that people were going to trash the floor by walking on it. So we've replaced it. Now we have like smart TVs in there, like LED screens. And
cool.
We went out to Canton and we're looking for like laundromat chairs, like like retro ones, like real ones, and we have those in the truck now also.
Really?
Yeah, and then we're getting ready to put an arcade in there, like an arcade machine, like a tabletop maybe, just Pac-Man. So it doesn't fall over.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, because every washateria had a video game.
You're right. Trying to keep the theme.
Yeah, I would go with my mom, and she's like, here's some quarters. Leave me alone. Go play, go play Pac-Man or Galaga.
Go play, man. That's awesome. Here's some chips. Go get something out of the vending machine and be quiet.
Yeah, stop sticking your hand up the Coke machine.
Horrible kid.
I was.
Were you really?
Yeah, I guess where the name came. He'll Dirty tell Laundry. It. Yeah.
So who came up with the name?
You know what's funny is we normally come up with our ideas while we're eating. Yes. And I don't remember where we were coming from, but we ended up at Hooters in Arlington, and we were sitting down, and at this time, somebody brought up the idea of separating Beat Breakers, which is the music side,
yeah,
from the actual clothing line. So we were just sitting there, we were eating, hands greasy, and I actually still to this day, I still have the napkin from Hooters where we wrote down everything. Filthy Laundry was like the first name. And then I think you said Dirty.
I think Dirty because it's more of a Southern thing, like with the urban side and the rappers, you know, Dirty. And then we're like, we have to put a U on it, you know, to keep make it even more dirty.
That's cool.
And it flowed better. Dirty Laundry.
Like Dirty South. Like that
Dirty
kind of
South. There you exactly. go. Yeah, exactly.
And everybody cool. has Dirty Laundry somehow, some way.
And
so.
Then the name Dirty could be used in so many ways. And it gets people's attention. Like Dirty, like, uh-oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. What is that?
Making people dirty. We love it.
Yeah.
They're like, hoo-hoo. I actually had a few people text me, and I won't say who they are. But totally very conservative individuals, and they were like, "So tell me what's Dirty Laundry and what's going on?"
Right.
They're like, "Are you going to be telling some stuff about yourself that we don't know?" And I was like, "Oh
see,
no,
that's it, that works that. Out." Yeah, we
it
definitely
always does.
Get that.
Like people, everyone has dirty laundry.
Oh
the,
yeah.
The new thing that we get now is we washing clothes. Yeah, that's a new thing.
They're washing clothes in there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Really?
The yeah. base. The base will shake that dirt off of you.
You're like, no, we're not washing any clothes, but if you want to come up here and help us out a little bit.
Right. Exactly. Fold some shirts.
We need to put some tent over here. Okay, well, I have a lot more questions from y'all. So let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Chad and Robert about, we're going to get into really what they do and what's going on and all this good stuff. And by the way, they're both from Dallas. They're born and raised in Dallas, Texas. So that's pretty cool too. You don't find that very often. So stay tuned and keep the radio on 570 AM or be on your internet at www.klif.com. Or if you're using that new iHeartRadio app, which you can actually listen to on your phone, which is so cool. If you're doing that, stay tuned because we still got more on this, more with the Studio Roundtable, and we also have Out and About with Cynthia Smooth. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you making a career transition or starting a new business? Have you been feeling dissatisfied, reevaluating life choices, or simply looking for personal and professional breakthroughs? Maybe it's time you look into getting yourself a session with renowned certified life coach, Ashley Burgess. Life coaching deals with all areas of a person's life because issues in any one area can affect all others. Life coaching is a process which helps to solve daily problems, increasing the understanding of life's natural philosophy. As a licensed and board certified master life coach, Ashley Burgess empowers individuals in a supportive and non-judgmental way. Ashley understands that life coaching is a special relationship between herself and her client, and your anonymity will always be held in the highest regard. Life coaching is a practice with the stated aim of helping clients determine and achieve personal goals. Ashley Burgess helps people to recognize their goals and to both recognize and overcome the obstacles that are keeping them from getting there. For more information, visit ashleyburgess.org. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y-B-E-R-G-E-S.org.